We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Media Giant Effect. And also now I'm going to call it the Dr. Ted Wisdom Teeth Wisdom Celebrity Segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, Dr. Ted Grellner. Dr. Ted, you're liking this, man. I threw you in right off the bat with a really, really interesting interview. And are you a fan of horror movies, Dr. Ted?
No.
Doctor takes a Hippocratic oath and he cannot lie.
So tell me, Ted, so never horror movies growing up at all?
There are some vivid memories I have of watching movies that were on regular television. And there's one scene on the end of a movie where there's an Indian sitting on top of a cowboy with a knife over his head. And I'll never forget that scene. So now,
Is that because you see too much blood every day?
For
a surgeon?
No, that's like water to me. No, not really. It's just one of those things. I don't know. I've read Dean Koontz books, and those just go too far for me.
You told me as a kid you never saw any of the Halloween movies ever.
Well, I did go to them, but there are other things I'd rather go to, you know, like, all of the movies that are out with Iron Man and the Marvel movies. You know, I get sucked into those really quickly because of the tech behind them. And James Bond, I think I've seen every one of them, and I could keep watching them if they keep coming out. Just the inventions.
The reason that you invited me, am I on?
We're going to go right now to so I'm excited to welcome from Joanne Barron again. Halloween Ends, getting co-starring with again Rohan Campbell and also Jamie Lee Curtis. Joanne, thanks for stopping by. We're just joking around. I told you never know what to expect.
I definitely came to play, but I didn't expect the first part of my interview to be a wonderful, handsome doctor who didn't like horror movies as the entree, and now we hear the Bond movies and others. But I will say, I didn't go to horror movies, and that wasn't my thing. And just because you get in a movie doesn't mean that you have seen all the movies in the genre. You might, the first time you were exposed to something, just be an actor in it. I am not a horror film buff. I barely know any horror film. But I starred in a movie with an Academy Award winner named Piper Laurie, a movie that was written about a little bit about me, a fabulous movie called St. Patrick's Day. She won either the Academy Award or was nominated to play Carrie's mother in the horror film Carrie. And all the reviews said, I reminded them of her, and she was freakishly terrifying. So I can identify with you, Doc. I am not the horror film.
Oh man, I had someone on that was played Jason, and I said to him from Friday the 13th, I forgot his name, his real name. And I said, and he does all these different films. I said, can I come on so you could kill me? You know, because as being 6'10", almost 300 pounds, I want to be in a horror movie where I get killed by, you know, when you had to audition, Joanne, was that something like, oh my gosh, have you been in any other horror movies? Is the only one you've ever been in?
That's a good question that no one's asked me. I was in a movie called Eye Murders. And a guy at that time who was up and coming is now pretty much a star. His name is Frank Grillo. And he stars in a movie called Lamborghini. And he has a big series he's on. He was in the movie. And I played a neighbor who is sweet and unassuming. Tony Todd, speaking of tall men from Candyman, he was in it. Anyway, this movie that Robbie Bryan directed and wrote.
Can I say Candyman three times for you or not? Or I'm in trouble.
You can say Candyman.
Oh, No. You can't do that. Please, no. Do you know about that movie, Dr. Ted?
No, I don't.
You're not supposed to say it three times. I'm already looking in the corner saying, please no, please no. See, Joanne is definitely showing her horror style stuff now. No, you can't say it. I didn't hear it. I'm going to have to edit that third one out. I'm already looking in the corner.
So I was the murderer in Eye Murders. I was the sweet old neighbor that was killing everyone. So in that, I was in a horror movie, a thriller, maybe a horror movie. I think a horror movie because I was killing everyone that was my neighbor. And then I was in a movie called High School Cheerleader. And I was the vice principal who got killed. So I think I've been in proximity to horror. But like Dr. T, I have not been going to horror movies.
I love horror movies.
As a practice. Some people, they live for them. They live and die for them.
In Elm Street, I love Freddy Krueger. And see, Michael Myers, in my opinion, I wasn't a huge fan as Nightmare on Elm Street and Jason. I don't know why, but now I'm a huge Michael Myers fan because the guy can never be killed. And we're not going to say anything about the other one. And I'm sure he's not dead. I'm sure he's back. And especially Candyman almost appeared right now in the corner of the. And Ted, if you've not watched it, I recommend it. Horror movies make it so your life doesn't feel so bad. I interviewed a horror movie director before and said that horror movies makes your life not feel so bad. So now after I'm looking in the corner and seeing if Candyman's right here, thanks to Joanne, and I'm going to have to put that out there as a reel for sure, what she did. I'm like, oh, dear goodness gracious. So, Joanne, when you auditioned, I'm sure you saw that all the Halloween movies, right? Or at least the ones, the originals, right? With Jamie Lee.
The process of auditioning in major projects, and even maybe less so, but especially this, is so top secret. The actors don't know what they're auditioning for, what the name of it is, who they are. Even the scenes can sometimes be written for the auditions and don't reflect necessarily the movie. I had no idea I was auditioning for a horror movie. I knew I was auditioning for a project that was a Jason Blum project, which means that it's like a tour de force, you know, brilliant producer. I didn't really know anything else. In fact, they had another name for it the whole time I was auditioning. It was called Caveman, Cave Dweller. It was called Cave Dweller. So I never, ever knew what it was. And I definitely didn't know until right before that I was going to be in a scene opposite Jamie Lee Curtis. So I didn't know anything. And the director took a real irreverent turn, an iconoclastic kind of unique auteur fresh look at creating me and my son as new characters in the last of the trilogy. So he did something epically audacious. He put a whole new character, and my son's the lead, and he did that as he was sewing up the entire storyline. So did I know I was going for a horror movie? No. Did I know who I was in it? No.
Oh, my goodness.
But you turned a lot of heads in that movie from what I read. In the way you were the crazy, creepy mother in this film. And you made the audience feel like Michael Murphy, was it?
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers was in the movie when he wasn't. But they were led to believe that he was in the presence of you all.
That's so doctor-like. You're so educated and have that intellectual mind, that scientific mind. Yes, one of the reviews said that I was the scariest character in the film.
Yeah.
That when I was on screen, it didn't matter that Michael had less screen time because I was embodying him. And you felt like Michael Myers was alive in me. You know, that was, when as an actor, you do things and you don't know sometimes even what you're doing. So when I read a review that said toxic motherhood, Jamie Lee is like all over her granddaughter and I'm all over my son, I didn't understand. And even the fact that they have a novelization out about my character, there were 7 children in my family. I was neglected. My first husband died, you know, in a way, it's like all of the interesting aspects that you don't really know, even as an actor. Sometimes how people view it after and reflect on it and review it, it's actually informative. I was surprised that I was compared to Michael Myers. I was surprised that they said the toxic motherhood was the theme of the movie. I was surprised that people thought Jamie Lee was toxic as a grandma. Mm. I was surprised at all the things I read that, you know, just seemed, they said I was so memorable because you couldn't forget me. I was so creepy.
So, you know, Ted, if you have Peacock, you can watch Halloween Ends right now. I mean, because this is the
thing. On NBC.
Yeah, and Peacock Network, I watched it. I went to the other Halloween. I didn't go to the theaters because I already subscribed to Peacock. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. And you're right, you were scary. And honestly, the way they plug this at the end, I can't believe that Jason Blum might be over, but you never know. I believe Michael Myers is not dead. That's my belief. But let's go with Jason Blum. Are you a fan of Blumhouse? Now, after
I think Blumhouse is brilliant. I mean, this is a guy who made an entire, you know, iconic legacy level franchise from something that many people would think would be modest. Oh, a horror movie. That's not so artful. Oh, it's got maybe a B-level quality. Well, he turned around and he did things like Get Out. And that was like a nominated for an Academy Award. He finds brilliant material. I believe he did the Renee Zellweger show with something about Pam, which is a brilliant miniseries about a woman who killed her neighbor. True story. I think Jason Blum is brilliant as an auteur, as an artist, as a businessman, and as a visionary. So one of the big things of doing a Jason Blum film is, you know, being in that stable of extraordinary people. And perhaps, you know, the casting director was so sweet to me at the after party. She said, we're going to look for something else for you. And I kind of do get the feeling there's a sense of community and that they may not repeat with people. But an example would be there's a wonderful Jason Blum movie out now that's fascinating about a little doll who comes to life and kills everyone. And it's starring the same woman who starred in Get Out, Allison Williams.
Oh, wow. So you know, I'd love to interview Jason Blum. Do you have that connect? I have connects for you. You're going to have connects for me, Joanne. At least reach out to see if I can get Jason Blum on my show. Okay.
Well, that would be great.
Okay.
I don't have that kind of relationship with him, but if you could get Jason Blum, that would be a real...
Yeah, so you might help. I just need to get on the phone. That's all. All right, Dr. Ted, next question for Joanne. I knew it'd be fun, and we're going to do a final skit at the end. Ted's going to create it. We're going to do another improv where I did one with Nellie, right? Nellie from, Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not Nellie. I want to do Nellie. I want to interview Nellie too, but no, Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie. But go ahead, Dr. Ted, next question.
Well, my question was, when I was going through the films that you've done, there's one particular film that caught my attention as from my dental background. You know
the
what
dentist?
I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love this guy. This guy's great. Do you know that was Mark Ruffalo's first movie?
Really?
He never had done a movie before. He was in a play on Broadway. And I went backstage. He's one of the classiest people on earth. He's so kind. I think being successful is confusing and being a failure can be painful. So we're just human beings. I'm Christian. We're sinners in my mind. We're not perfect like God is. So, you know, it's unusual when someone is as generous, kind, classy, gracious as Mark Ruffalo. I went backstage and he was kissing my hand. And I didn't even know he remembered me. Wow. I did not even know he remembered me. And he remembered me from the dentist. And now that you mentioned the dentist, Doc, that is a horror movie. Because Robin Bernson pulls everyone's teeth out. And as a matter of fact, the little boy that played my son, he kept saying, I don't like this. I don't want to be here. I want to get off. And I went to the director. Hold on to your underwear, gentlemen. And I said, I don't think he wants to be here. And the director gave me eyes of death. Go back to where you were. An actor does not tell a director that the person he's shooting the movie with, even if they're 3 years old, wants to go home. Mm. I said, is there anything we can do? And then I said to the little boy, can I get you a toy? Can I do anything? So being in that movie, I was very preoccupied with actually playing mother to this adorable little boy. And his mother was on the set, but I guess he got bored and just wanted to go home. He's a child.
Yeah, I can imagine that'd be hard.
Are you going to watch The Dentist now, Ted? Are you going to watch The Dentist? Are you going to watch The Dentist now?
Well, I have to now that I find out
it's a slasher film. He's got to see The Dentist because he's that's his area. He's got him.
Corbin Burnson, I've had Corbin on my show multiple times. He's a great guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm ranked the number 12 celebrity podcast in the world, according to FeedSpot. So I interview major celebs all the time. All right. But see, I just find you so fascinating, Joanne, and all the different things. Now, latest project for you. Let's talk about, I know Halloween Ends is the thing, but also you're out promoting something else because everyone needs to check out Halloween Ends, again, available Peacock, and soon on, it's now, what's going on with it?
Going on with it is, you know, as actors, we're like half the time out of the loop. I'm still trying to understand that they advertised deleted scenes, of which I have three, including my death, which is a wild death scene. I sing while I'm slashing and blood is dripping. The director and the AD were on set throwing blood at me as I'm singing and grabbing a knife and kicking. That is one epic death scene. And it says deleted scenes coming out, directors, a cut, a gag reel, bloopers. And I'm looking, I thought it was November 15th. I think it might be December 27th, but I want to see it because it's some of the scenes I did. And whereas you see from the cut the director did, a kind of angular, somewhat unattractive, kind of, I don't know, oppressive woman, there were scenes I did that were funny, where I'm talking baby talk to my husband like sexy. Wolf Wolf wants Kitty to come over and do a little play. And then there's ones where I am touching, I bring my son a dessert, I didn't mean what I said. And then there's, you know, my death scene where my last word is I'm dying is the most epic thing you'll ever believe. It's the one thing in the movie I wish he didn't cut. Her last words are incredible because of who's murdering her. So I am hopeful to look at those new deleted scenes, and they're either out now, November 15th, or they're out December 27th. And I'm such a dumb bunny, I don't even know where to go to get it. I just keep calling people. Have you seen it? Where is it? So
all right, we'll be ready for it. All right, Ted, another question, because you've done some great research. I'm impressed, Dr. Ted, and the research you have for Joanne.
Dr. Ted is on the ball.
Well, thank you. I do have another in that I know nothing about acting, but I'm learning as I go here. And I understand that you teach the Meisner technique, which is different from method acting. Am I right?
Yeah. Okay, wow, this guy. Is this how you went through medical school? That's how come you're a good doctor. You got the highest grades.
Well, thank you.
The Meisner technique is a technique that is sort of 100 plus years old. Warren Beatty, Jack Nicholson, Robert Duvall, the great director Sidney Pollack, the writer David Mamet, Sam Rockwell, Aaron Eckhart, Diane Keaton, Diane Weiss. It's the most renowned technique. And it's a program that really is good for writing, producing, directing, acting. And it's great for anyone at any age. And we teach it on Zoom, so anyone anywhere can take it. And we teach it in person, of course, if you're in town. Mm-hmm. And the method of that is imaginative. And Strasberg's method, as they called it, is more like recalling trauma in your life or doing something where you look at a person and you're substituting someone's face. So Halle Berry, who I was in Frankie and Alice with, and I was in Dorothy Dandridge with, she worked with our Meisner technique and she worked with the method. And her comment was, it's not really as specific as the Meisner technique because it's more generated by emotion. Mm-hmm. I am going to remember a trauma. I am going to look at your face and remember my uncle. And somehow she felt that didn't ground her as much as breaking a script down and having specific, clear, planned behavior and filling in the emotion under it. So she was a Meisner convert. There's many Strasberg actors, people who did the method and felt like that recall and substitution, those techniques were helpful, but they're not the whole enchilada to acting.
Now I understand with Meisner, you're trying to act to get a reaction from the people around you.
No, you're not going to ever push for a reaction. You're okay. Simply going to allow the truth to unfold.
Okay.
Allow yourself to react. So rather than come on stage to pick a fight, you are there to just accidentally experience what might become a fight if someone insults you. And the accident of acting is like the accident of living. Who goes home and expects their wife to be cheating on them? They didn't think they were going to pick up a gun and kill their best friend. And when you go to the dental office, you know, or he's doing his Zooms, he didn't know that I was going to say, wait a minute, talk about me, not the Bond movies.
Now, see, luckily I've done so many interviews. I know you were not upset. I do have stories. I'll tell you off air, the worst interviews ever that were the ones that were pissed off of me out of 9,000 plus. And I have a few of them and I want to still strangle them. All right. So let's go ahead now and go
ahead. Interviews.
and they're pretty well-known people, and they're the two biggest jerks in the industry.
Well, let me just say this.
I can't say
why I said Mark Ruffalo was a very kind soul is because I think as you get more and more successful, for some people, you're in awe and fear you'll lose it. And in a weird way, you shut down. And I think you become a little less humble and a little less vulnerable and a little more impatient. So actually, failure is not a bad thing. It can make you deeply humble and vulnerable. And I think the quality of gratefulness, you know, is a great characteristic for someone who's a superstar. Tom Cruise is a darling person. Tom Cruise is an absolutely lovely, lovely person. He spoke at our school. Lovely.
All right. Well, I got the best gimmick here. I came up with something, Dr. Ted. I remember I always wanted to do skits. I'm going to be a country bumpkin named Buck who's going to interview your character from this movie. And that's Joan. So I'm really excited today to invite you to my show. Welcome to Buck. And I'm excited, Joan, that you've come by to tell me what the heck happened with your son. That was not a very, very, very good job you did raising him.
How dare you? How dare you say anything about how I've raised my son? What do you know about the things that I've gone through?
Come on now. I saw that he's really crazy and he really isn't confident. It looks like a part of it is based on what you do for him.
If I had a gun, I would shoot it repeatedly through your head. How dare you insinuate that I, who have given my life for a boy who I love more than life itself and who I have done everything for, how dare you insinuate that?
I mean, again, I would say also the father is very uninvolved, very uninvolved man. He was kind of crazy and I didn't know what you saw in him, Joan.
I see that you are a judgmental, evil. I am a wonderful mother, and my husband is a very kind and well-intended.
You're absolutely kidding me that you would think something like that. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that you're lying, Joan. You really have a lot of problems.
I'm controlling myself because I'm a lady, but you're a monster. One more word out of you. I swear anything you think about me or my husband will come seeping through this Zoom right into your bloodstream.
Oh my goodness gracious. You say, I'm going to have to let you go. Goodbye. All right.
Goodbye.
My country bumpkin interview with that was phenomenal. That was great character acting. Awesome. Very, very good. Awesome. So Ted, last question for Joanne, but we have to let her go. But you like the Joan thing. I mean, I can't wait to watch because I was looking right in the camera and didn't see your reaction. I cannot wait to watch that and put it in reels. Okay. The whole thing with my interview
scary.
With Young Rock and everything. And so I've been doing this. And what are your thoughts? Was that pretty good? Country.
Oh, you want my acting assessment?
Yeah.
I think that when people are different and older, they're very short, they're very tall, you were a wrestler, which by the way, we have a lot of Olympic champions and wrestlers have gone through the school, very famous. I was in the Jean-Claude Damme movie with Dolph Lundgren, who I taught.
I've had Dolph Lundgren on my show.
Well, look at Universal Soldier. I have quite the epic scene in that.
Really?
I find that people who have lived longer and have more to draw from and who are special maybe someone's short like Danny DeVito, or they're very tall like Dolph or yourself, I find that they can work as actors. The issue with acting isn't that you come to it later or you did something else. John Cena is a brilliant actor. It's how much time you train is the same training that goes into the doctor. All the work that he did, your work in your wrestling, you can't just walk into that. You're going to get your clavicle broken, your head off broken, exactly. And you'll be dead. Your windpipe will be gone. You have to be skilled. So the only thing I say to people is, Meisner said he could teach a table to act. And I think the most interesting tables are the ones that have been around the longest and have the most character. So I'm very excited to teach people. If Ted or yourself ever said, hey, I'd like to take a class at Baron Brown, especially on Zoom, because, you know, Zoom is very effective for acting training. I would think it would be fun and exciting and open up new vistas. How many doctors have also loved acting? Rico Simonini is one of the top heart surgeons in the world. And he went to our whole 2-year program to be an actor.
Wow.
And he starred Frank Sinatra in a movie that he produced that I played Hedda Hopper in.
You know, you're really the resume you have, who you've taught, where can people go? So you're going out here promoting Halloween Ends, but also let's promote your acting. Where can people take the course? Where can they go right now?
BaronBrown.com. I'm Baron, my husband's Brown, and there's a .com. And all you have to do is go on BaronBrown.com and there's a thing that says apply for an interview.
All right, fantastic. All right, Ted, that was fun. And we'll make sure I'll get to the link to all that. Appreciate it. Halloween Ends is now available on Peacock. And also, I'm sure now it's in streaming services. It's out of the theaters now. If you've not seen it, got to check it out. And now you see it crazy.
One last comment. Ted.
Yes.
You're the best. I hold nothing against you for not liking the horror movies. I'm not the horror girl. Your taste is my taste. I love the things you said you love. You're a terrific interviewer. I enjoyed the research you did. I really want to give you props. You caught me off guard with how much you knew, because most people, they don't do the research. And I think that's how come you're a doctor. You can heal people and you can be exacting in how you approach things. So I think you're the bomb.
All right. Appreciate it. All right, guys. That was, again, the Dr. Ted Celebrity segment and the Neil Haley Show. Guys, take care.